Welcome to Bible Mysteries. What if there are secrets in the Bible the world doesn't want you to know? You're listening to episode 222, The Rules of Engagement, Part 2. Now here are your hosts, Scott and John.
Hello and welcome once again to Bible Mysteries Podcast. I'm Scott Mitchell.
I'm John Potts, and this is the show that talks about things in the Bible the world doesn't want you to know.
I almost forgot to say my own name.
I noticed that right out of the gates. You threw me off.
I guess it's one of those days where you're just, yeah. You know, John, we forgot to bring up the fact that we have this new little art piece here, this UFO.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the last couple of episodes we recorded, we got it, and here we were. Sandy found this thing, and it was just so proud of the fact that it looks like a UFO, and then we go put it up there and stage it and forgot to even mention it.
It is one of the coolest lamps I've seen in a long time. That thing is vintage. It was made in the 50s.
So the one thing I noticed was originally they had a flat top instead of that bulb. That bulb is just a light bulb. Actually just a light bulb, yeah. So it was retrofitted by somebody. It's not exactly original because of that one change. But it looks cooler to me because it looks like there should be a little, you know.
Well, that means it's one of a kind.
That's right. It's now even more unique.
Wow. Maybe we'll have a seeker contest or something like that for the lamp. If you don't get too attached to it, that is.
Oh, that's right. Well, you mean like to do a giveaway?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. That's what we should think about. Maybe we could, or what we should have done is make a little replica of it.
Okay.
Like that looks just like it. Since that's an old vintage lamp, I'm not sure how trustworthy its light can be. But what if we could find a way to manufacture them in a modern version of it or something? That'd be an interesting giveaway. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that. Speaking of giveaways, we announced it last episode, but I want to say it again, that we're doing a new subscriber referral. So for our seekers, this program is an easy way for you to share Bible mysteries with friends and earn rewards. I went into some of the details last time about how it works, but the bottom line is there's a referral link in your own subscription at Supercast.
Okay.
When you become a subscriber, you get your own account, and you can go there and click the referral link so friends can listen. And the specifics of how to do it is going to be in our weekly update, so be sure you're checking your emails and your junk folders, because Sandy sends out an email every week. It tells you when our next Seeker Sanctuary is going to be and when our Unlocking Truth Live is going to be, and all the bonus content is there. But you get referral credits, you know, $5 if you share a podcast link to somebody and they listen to it and they get to hear the ad-free version, just like you do.
Yeah.
And then if they subscribe, it comes through your referral and you'll get a $5 credit. If you do 5 referrals, it's a $20 credit. 10 referrals, it's a $50 credit. So, you know, that's a nice way to support us and not have to pay us money.
So you could essentially share the ministry with a bunch of new people, which is hopefully going to, you know, fire them up about studying their Bible and learning more and all of that, which is positive, and potentially pay for your own subscription.
Yeah, you could. You definitely could. And not that, you know, we know that you're supporting us because you love what we're doing, that you're not trying to get it free. But we want to acknowledge you and thank you in a certain way, and that's one way you can do it. We may not be able to send you the lamp, but we could definitely help you pay for your subscription. And your name will appear on a leaderboard, so it's a lot of fun. You can have fun with it. And if you're already telling people about it anyway, why not get a little something for it?
I agree. I like the leaderboard idea.
Yeah.
Are we going to get to come on here and talk about who's in the lead and stuff like that?
No, what's really going to be sad if the leaderboard is always dominated by like you or Jana. because I know y'all spread the word all the time. But I'm going to think, oh man, are they the only ones doing it? So yeah, hopefully we'll get
glad you bring that up, because if you're not a subscriber, if you're not a seeker and you're kind of thinking about it, I'm here doing the show as the co-host, and I'm a seeker.
Yeah, that's right. So, John,
I shouldn't have to pay for a subscription, right?
He might be able to be on the leaderboard too.
I mean, should be.
You might get to pay. You get yours for free. So, hey, you know, that it's you're not excluded from the contest.
No, it's a privilege to do both, to be the co-host and to be a seeker to support the ministry.
Well, we thank God for what you do. And by the way, your lovely and gracious wife agreed to be a guest on our show, mm-hmm. and that will be airing very soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. That's the episode I'm going to share with a bunch
of people. There you go. Send it to all your friends and family, of course, because so you get to see what Jana's all about. And I'll be honest with you, no joke, we could have done another 2 hours with her. I mean, we weren't 100% sure where it was going to go. We even both talked about it beforehand, thinking, because she's got this expertise in her industry, mm-hmm. in her medical field. And she had some things she felt comfortable sharing, but some other things she wasn't quite comfortable with. So we were like, well, let's just have a casual conversation and see where it goes. Exceeded both our expectations.
Yeah.
And to the point where I want to have her back.
Well, it blew me away because the studio's a little small. So if we get three people in here, it gets a little tight.
And then warm.
It probably went better if I wasn't in the studio, right? Yeah. So I wasn't part of that podcast.
You had no undue influence.
Yeah. And, you know, but plus I didn't want her to get mad at me on air, right? Which could happen, right?
Hey,
it happens frequently.
Wives, so. Husbands and wives, sometimes all it takes is a hair trigger.
Sandy was doing editing on some shows, mm-hmm. and instead of me just sitting around and, you know, waiting, I went and ran errands. I came back an hour later and you guys went for like another 30, 40 minutes after I got back. And I was like, what are they talking about in there?
It was fascinating. And so, she shared so much insight that, you know, she's always been one of those deeper thinkers to me ever since I've known her. She looks at things and it's like, I would have never gotten that from that, you know, Bible-wise. So it was just great to have her share that kind of perspective. And anyway, it's just what's so great about Bible
Mysteries. So that episode will be in February?
Yeah. It's going to be airing. Should be the third. We always try to release a guest interview on the third Monday of each month.
Okay.
So it should be the third Monday of February, whatever that date is for those of you keeping score at home. Okay. And with that, we're going to dive back into the rules of engagement today. This will be part two of our discussion, but we're going to jump in first and acknowledge our newest seekers, John.
I will handle that. So this episode is brought to us by our newest Bible Mysteries Podcast premium subscribers, or what we call seekers, right? And they are Juliet Demino, Ashley Fish, and Rebecca Tingle, all of which joined in January of 2025.
Yeah, so we're really catching up on the subscribers. We need to
boost that.
Yeah,
we need to go back to doing five because we're so far behind, right?
Well, we were so far behind before that I was doing five to catch up because, we had hundreds. Then I started going, oh, we're running out of names. So I went back to three.
Well, that's fine. But
so we want to be able to be so far behind that we need to
do five. Well, we don't need to be doing shows in February and talking about subscribers that just joined in January.
We need
to be 4 months ahead of talking.
Right. I like that. That was a comfort zone there. Well, listen, Juliet and Ashley and Rebecca, thank you for subscribing. We appreciate you joining us. And let us share with you kind of the impact that what you're doing by subscribing is having on people with our newest testimonials.
Yeah, so this testimonial comes from our newest subscriber, Juliet Demino. Juliet says, Pastor Scott and John, I have learned so much from your podcast. I stumbled upon your podcast while I was searching Bible Mysteries. I have my sister listening to it, and I passed it on to many friends. My eyes are wide open. This is something the Christian church does not touch base on, and it is so important. God bless you and all that you do. Keep up the great work. I think that's a great testimony.
Me too. Amen. Thank you, Juliet. Not only did she subscribe recently, but wrote us a testimonial right off the bat. So
I love that she says that her eyes are wide open.
Yeah, I love that phrase.
Something the church doesn't talk about. Yeah, we've talked about that, and that she stumbled upon this podcast. We take our time to mention a lot of the authors that come on the show and that give us inspiration and content. And a lot of them are right here stacked up behind us. But, I mean, you've got Sylvia McKelvey, Karen Wilkinson, Ryan Peterson, Timothy Alberino, L.A. Marzulli. Sorry, L.A. was last. he's like the big star, right? Well, I don't know. They're all are. But anyways.
All humble, though.
I mean, all are great. Yeah. And those are all books that if you're new to the podcast and it's – and like – Juliet says her eyes are wide open.
Yeah.
You have a ton of literature to read now.
Yeah. And all those guests that have written books, you know, and some have written multiple, but LA's a multiple author. Ryan Peterson's written several, mm-hmm. couple of books. And what I love about their books in particular is they all have different stories to share, but they mm-hmm. all bring it back to the Word of God.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't think we would want to have Gary Miller, for example, just yeah. verse after verse supporting his suppositions. And that's what we love about that. It's always, it's great to listen to a lot of shows, a lot of sources, like you say all the time, use yep. those resources, but they should all be pointing back to the scriptures and get your heart there. And that's what's happening with these testimonials. So thank you, Juliet.
Absolutely.
And there's one more for us.
Yeah, so this one comes to us from Chris Dykus.
This one's funny. I like this one.
Okay. So this is Chris Dykus. He says, LOL, slap your mama. I do love Scott's sense of humor. Is slap your mama, is that from Louisiana?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something so good to make you want to slap your mama. And, you know, I don't know which episode he was talking about where I was being funny. I don't think of myself as funny at all. But the fact that he gets it makes me think he might be from Louisiana.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He says, I do love Scott's sense of humor. I, too, see an awakening happening, and I don't mind at all being counted among the little bit crazy ones myself. If I can prove it by scripture, which is key, right? If yeah. you are going to talk about stuff that yeah. people think is crazy, you better be able to prove it by scripture.
Right.
That's the story I'm sticking to. Thanks again, and bless you. That's a great testimonial. That is funny.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Chris Dykus. And by the way, it was a longer email. He had a question, too. And I want to remind folks that we're starting to do the mystery mailbag now, where I've been getting so many questions, and I get so behind in writing an answer back to them. Uh-huh. Not only am I not a fast typist, but just with full-time work and everything else, they get away from me. But it's easy for me to just sit here and run my mouth because that's what I do.
Yeah.
So I think recording these questions and giving you some anonymity, we'll just use first names, mm-hmm. you know, but letting everybody hear your questions, because I was thinking, here I'm writing back to one person, and I bet there's 20 other people that have a similar question. You yeah. know, you say it all the time. I hope to ask a question other people are thinking.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, why don't I turn you into a bunch of Johns? You know, uh-huh. everybody that writes uh-huh. me is now a John, because I can apply or reply to your question on a recording, and everybody gets to hear it. So,
okay.
Yeah. So look for that. It's going to be called Mystery Mailbag, and there'll be a weekly, I think, is Sandy planning to do it. And we've got enough backlog of questions that I hadn't gotten to yet that we may have 6 or 7 or 8 episodes in the can before we even catch up.
We also do the unscripted episodes where if you're a seeker,
yes,
we have seekers that write in with a question. We've spent an entire hour just sitting around, and yeah. it's completely, there's no research going into it. We're just shooting from the hip. So it's almost like opinions.
That's right.
Although I say it's opinions on my end. You're over there. So I'm over there just offering opinions, but you're over there actually looking up verses in the Bible. So it's still being.
And I still give my opinion about it.
You still give your opinion, yeah. but what I'm getting at is it's not a structured show with you don't have 20 verses in yeah. front of you that we're going to talk about. You know what I mean? It's a little bit shooting from the hip. So.
And what's nice about that is those questions are specifically from seekers, and we get their permission to use their name, mm-hmm. and then we do an entire episode, and that's bonus content. So not everybody yeah. gets to hear those. These, I got the inspiration for this from LA. You mentioned Ellie Marzulli a minute ago, and mm-hmm. he just does questions with LA. And I thought, okay, there's a man that's been around a little bit, and he's got some smarts about him that I don't have. Mm-hmm. He knows he has less time than I do, you know, to answer questions. So he just does them on the air. And then I thought, well, why are you working harder? He's working smarter. Yeah. Let's do it LA's way. So that's
makes sense,
that's what made
right?
me think about it, because he's been around, and he's sort of like the godfather of dealing with this kind of stuff. And I feel like he's come up with a better program, a better system. So, having said all that, John, let's okay. dive back into the rules of engagement. And mm-hmm. as we said last week, God has placed limits on fallen entities' access to our world and our access to theirs. So this limit is the reason why they haven't taken over.
Yeah.
Because God won't allow it. But both sides have defied this limit or divine decree and broken the rules of engagement. We've seen that in Genesis 6 with mm-hmm. the fallen angels taking the daughters of men. And even though they defy this, the limits are still there and they're set in place. And what we've noticed is that anytime that limit is broken or that decree is broken, that's when God divinely intervenes.
Okay.
So Genesis 6 took place, and he didn't immediately stop it. He allowed men to make that choice. So we're back mm-hmm. to that discussion of free will, and God gave them up.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did, they chose to worship these gods. So that's the reason why the world is in a mess. It's not because God doesn't care or love you. He said, here's your choice, and man chose to go this way. Mm-hmm. He gave them up. He said, you can do what you want. He's coming to judge the world for that decision, but those that would charge God with injustice do not understand the history.
Which is interesting because so many people ask that question. Yeah. Well, why do kids get cancer?
Yes.
Yeah, why does, let me restate that. Why does, if there's a loving God, why would he allow war? Why would he allow kids to get cancer? And as a Christian, that's a hard thing to answer, yeah, right? But if you understand this whole backstory, right, about how men have rebelled, about how angels have rebelled, if you understand this whole backstory, and if you can somehow explain all this to someone, which is a whole other thing, right? Being able to explain all this is not that easy.
It's not.
It will bend their brain when you start talking to a Christian that doesn't know anything about the seed war or anything about fallen angels or the reason for the flood, yes, or fallen entities, because no one is taught about this in church nowadays. When you start talking about this, you're going to see people with crazy looks in their eyes. But every once in a while, you're going to see somebody going, I kind of know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then they're going to go research it, and they're going to start learning. So, yeah.
You know, because it's not talked about enough and taught enough in church, it allowed an atheistic or secular society to cast aspersion on Christianity, as they continue to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm reminded, you know, we talk about that question of why would God allow this or that. I'm reminded by something my wife told me when she was in college. She had a professor who was an avowed atheist who said, if there is a God, when I meet him, I'm going to throw a cancer cell at him, flick a cancer cell at him. Like, you know, he could do that. But
yeah.
But the point being, because God is unjust, if there is a God, he's unjust because of cancer. And we use cancer because it's such a horrible disease. And we discussed that with your wife in that episode too. But what they don't understand is this is by humanity's choice.
Yeah.
Humanity chose to rebel against God and break the rules of engagement. The angels did it too, and they've all those that had that free will are going to be judged for that. Mm-hmm. So God is not unrighteous. He said, fine, you want to do it that way? I will let you. But we're going to continue today to let the Bible reveal the rules of engagement in this ongoing battle of good versus evil and why we're literally in that battle. So last week we ended saying that the rules of engagement were broken in Genesis 6. The flood of Noah was the result of that for man, the punishment of man and the offspring of the Nephilim that were produced, you know, the offspring of angels and men. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The angels themselves were cast into the bottomless pit and punished, where we read that in Jude and 2 Peter. But men learned nothing from that, nor the angels, evidently, because in Genesis 11, verse 5, we see that after the flood, there was another attempt made. Mm-hmm. Now, you say, well, you're reading into this. Well, let's see. Okay, verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And we're talking about the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
So men were building a tower. This is after the flood. And they said, let's do this to make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad. Mm-hmm. So somehow they knew something that was coming. How would man know that God was planning to scatter him abroad upon the face of the earth?
Mm-hmm.
The only way he could have known is he was in communication with angels.
Yeah.
So they were interacting with him again. They were trying to get secret knowledge. That's clear to me. And so when they began to do this, it got the Lord's attention. And if you're saying, oh, well, they were just building a tower too tall, well, come on, we have skyscrapers in Dubai way bigger than that in the world today.
Yeah, and I would have to believe they're not building anything that tall. Anyways, this had some kind of occult power to it.
It has a spiritual connection, absolutely. And the occult is right. So God said, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. And of course, you know, the end of the story was God confounded the languages and ultimately divided the earth in the days of Peleg. I have no doubt in my mind that those men building that city and tower were willing to trade their wives and daughters and sisters or whatever for this occult knowledge that you mentioned. As before in Genesis 6. So God had to divinely intervene again. And he said, I'll never destroy the world with a flood again. He gave us a rainbow as a token.
Yeah.
So he did what he did. And we later learn in the book of Acts when Paul was preaching that the reason he confounded the languages and set the bounds of men's habitations in the nations so they could find him. that they might happily seek the Lord, he said. Okay. Because he gave them up. We read that last week in Romans 1. God gave them up to worship the host of heaven.
Yeah.
But he says, but I'm right here if you want me. I created you. I'm your father if you want me, but you have to have a relationship with me.
Yeah.
So humanity made a choice. And so him coming down in that way was another divine intervention that shows us what he always does when the rules of engagement are broken. Therefore, that Tower of Babel had to be more than just building a big skyscraper.
Yeah.
Just like you said, they were after occult knowledge.
What was, and you know this by heart, but what did they say? Let us make a name for ourselves?
Yeah. Lest we be scattered abroad.
What does that
abroad?
Mean? Let yeah. us. Why would making a name for ourselves keep us from being? Obviously, they knew what the punishment would be. Mm-hmm. He'll make us go scatter out throughout the whole earth instead of being here. Like, why would making a name for ourselves change anything? Well, you ever thought about that?
Yeah, when you think about it, they're building a city.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually cities are founded after a person's name.
Yeah. So are they saying, let us unify, let's all get unified together, or else he's going to scatter us?
They were unified, one language, yeah. right? So yeah. we could say that was unity. If we.
I think so, yeah. yeah.
But if you think about in the Bible, even before the flood of Noah, who built the first cities? Mm-hmm. Well, it was Cain, mm-hmm. who was yeah. of the wicked one. Cities, by default, are satanic.
Hmm.
I'm not talking about just the structure of living in a city.
But you're talking in their origin.
Yeah, in their origin, it was in defiance and rebellion. That he built one and he named it after his son, Erech, or Enoch, or whichever one it was. And then here they are building a city, let's make us a name. You know, you look at this city was founded by the Johnsons, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever. So it's about making a name. It's fame. It's notoriety. It's I had this influence. I was powerful. Hmm. And yet all those people that founded these cities are down in the ground. You know, they died.
Yeah.
And if they weren't saved, they're in hell. So I think it's all, again, the promise of power and glory, like Lucifer gave to Christ in the wilderness. If you worship me.
Yeah.
You know, so making a name ties it all back into the fallen angels and the worship of the gods. And like you said last time, this idea of the seed war and mixing the genetics.
Yeah.
So that's behind the satanic motive. Man may want the power, the glory, whatever.
The technology.
And the occult knowledge, yeah. right. Lucifer wants to stop the seed of the woman from being born.
Yeah.
Now we know that he failed because Christ was born. Mm-hmm. But, and then he thought he succeeded again when he had him crucified. But fallen angels have a history of intermixing genetically with men. And it was still a concern when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 11,
okay.
he said in verse 10, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. What a strange statement to make.
It is strange.
Yeah.
What does power on her head mean?
Well, in this case, when you look at the context, it was her authority was her husband.
Okay.
So the authority of the man was Christ.
Yeah.
So you've got a hierarchy of God the Father, Jesus Christ, man, and the wife.
Okay.
Or the woman, and then over the children. Mm-hmm. So there's a hierarchy there. Well, the man's job is and should be to be a mantle of covering and protection over his wife, constantly praying over her, getting in the word, studying, being the spiritual head of that household, lest the angels come down. Mm-hmm. So just as and I talked about last week, the desire of women, mm-hmm. and that was yeah. every woman's desire, at least in Judaism, every woman's desire to be the one that would bring forth the seed that would bruise the head of the serpent.
Yeah.
Nakash, right? Well, if every woman's desire was to bring forth the seed that would crush the serpent, then it would also be true that Satan is looking for a woman to bring forth his seed.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Ryan Peterson, the final Nephilim, he's a hybrid of Satan and a woman. When he's born. So for this cause ought the woman have power on her head because of the angels. They would seek to do the same thing. And so you say, well, they're not coming down taking wives anymore like they were in the past. Well, no, but they're abducting people.
Yeah.
And genetically manipulating them that way. So that was a concern at the time. They had no understanding of genetics and DNA. and manipulation, but they understood mingling themselves mm-hmm. as they did because of Genesis 6. And even Daniel 2, we've talked about this many times in the past, verse 42. According to an interpretation of a dream, it says, "And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed in clay." Now, not only do I believe Daniel prophesied that this mixing of angels and humans is going to occur again mm-hmm. in the future, though it may be through a different kind of contract or covenant than it was in Genesis 6.
Because it was marriage then,
yes.
right? But well, this time there'll be no marriage involved, and that is that why it says they shall not cleave
that's
one
it.
To another.
So the word cleave is used in connection to marriage when God said, he made Eve for Adam. He said, thus shall a man leave his father and his mother uh-huh. and cleave unto his wife.
Okay.
And they two shall be one flesh. Now you think of cleave in the word cleaver.
Yeah.
Well, I use a cleaver to cut things
like
in half.
Cut something, yeah.
The cleave originally meant to bind together.
Okay.
Okay. So, and it's just like Satan to alter the meaning of words to be the exact opposite of what they should mm-hmm. be, right? So when a man cleaves to his wife, the two become one flesh. If he says, they shall not cleave one to another, to me, that's an interpretation or it is my understanding. It means when they intermingle, they're not going to do it through a marriage contract.
Yeah.
That might be an explanation for the abduction phenomenon.
Yeah, that's wild.
But regardless of how it is, and there's going to be at least one marriage, I think, which would probably be the Saint Lucifer and the woman that brings forth the Antichrist. I don't know for sure that they're going to marry in the sense of taking a wife and all, but I wouldn't surprise me if he comes down in a deception.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, as an angel. But Christ warned about this in Matthew 24. And so we're talking about a future breaking of the rules of engagement again. Mm-hmm. Because he said in verse 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man," and he speaks of his return. Of that day, the second coming. Mm-hmm. He didn't say anything about the rapture there. He's talking about the second coming.
Yeah.
"No man knows the day or the hour. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And how come the angels don't know? You know why men don't know? Because men are idiots. But the angels of heaven? They're faithful to the Lord. Why don't they know? Well, loose lips sink ships.
That's interesting that you said that you're not talking about the rapture here.
It's not.
You're talking about the second coming
right.
7 years later, or at least after the 7 year tribulation, which
correct.
Could be even, who knows, whatever. But it's interesting that you said that because immediately when you said that, I thought, wait a second. So maybe the angels do know when the rapture is? But they don't know when the second coming is. And the reason I say something that may sound so absurd is what I just said, is because when Jesus spoke to the demoniac that had legion in him,
right.
the first thing those demons said is, "Why are you here, mm-hmm. son of what did they?"
He said, they knew he was the Son of God.
They said, "You're the Son of God. What? You're not supposed to be here yet." Like, so it's almost like they know something about the timeline.
They,
like,
what
why would
they know,
say that, right?
In that passage, what they know is their time of judgment. They said, "Have you come to judge us before the time?"
Before the time, yeah.
The time. So I don't know how much they know, but I do believe you are correct in that they know more than we do about
events. I guess that's a great summary of what I just said, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they don't know all of the events, like they can't see into time or
right.
see into the future, but they at least have an idea. Because it also says something, you'll know this verse, about Satan. His fury is great because he knows his time is short. So he almost knows when the end is coming, right?
That's
and we
right.
know he's really going to crank up the heat because he's running out of time.
You're right. And that's Revelation 12.
Yeah.
So you're right. When he comes, he knows his time is short. So he knows that because he knows some things. And otherwise, you wouldn't have fortune tellers, which are demon-controlled entities.
Yeah.
They're, the Bible calls them necromancers, familiar spirits, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So when they do that, they're being given secret knowledge from the demonic realm because they can see some things that we can't see.
Yeah, that's interesting.
They don't know what God knows, of course, but they know some stuff. So I think you're making a good point about that, that they know their day of judgment.
It's a little bit off topic, but it just kind of threw me off when you said that about...
the angels
they don't know about the second coming.
Right. I don't believe they do. Now, I'm not saying that angels know the date of the rapture either.
Yeah,
they exactly. might, but it just says he's not talking about the rapture there. He's talking about his second coming. But the point is, he says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. All right. In what mm-hmm. way is Christ's second coming going to be like the days of Noah? And you think, well, because there's going to be wrath and destruction like there was in the flood. It won't be a flood, it'll be fire,
yeah.
but there's going to be wrath, right? So that's how it's going to be. But no, that's not what he says.
Yeah.
He says, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So while the flood came and took them all away in the wrath of God, mm-hmm. what's interesting to note is that the only reference to marrying and giving in marriage before the flood was Genesis 6.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I think he's giving us insight in this prophecy about how the days of Noah are going to be like Genesis 6. So something's coming. Something's coming where the rules of engagement are going to be broken again, and God would have to divinely intervene. And I like the way Ryan Peterson puts it, that God will only allow so much of a certain thing to happen before he has to step in.
Yeah.
And Ryan ties it to the death of saints, to martyrs.
Okay.
So it's almost as though that when saints begin to be killed en masse in such a way, because God never stepped in to divinely intervene for the persecution of Christians from AD, 33 till the Council of Nicaea mm-hmm. or something, whatever that event was that Constantine stopped the persecution of Christians in Rome.
Okay.
Even though many, many were killed. Mm-hmm. He didn't stop to intervene there, but he did stop to intervene in Genesis 6 because of the corruption of bloodline. He stopped to intervene at the Tower of Babel because they're reaching out for that same occult knowledge.
Yeah.
He intervened in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. As we talked about this, there was something going on with angel
yeah.
DNA there.
Yeah.
And he's going to do it again here.
Hmm.
So it seems to me that Jesus is letting us know that it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah because of angels breaking the
rules of engagement. So anytime there is a divine intervention with God coming down, mm-hmm. it's usually associated humans and angels doing something together.
Yeah. And what's interesting—
And I don't mean by something, but something drastic, like changing the race almost.
Right. It must be something bad that causes, like I said, the angels that left their first estate and they sinned, mm-hmm. and they're cast in chains. It must be something particularly bad because for him to come down and stop it like that. Of course, the second coming involves far worse than it has ever been before because of God's wrath and Christ's return. The world got to a point where it's so bad, God said, I've got to take it all out.
Yeah.
But there's going to be signs about this. So this ties in. So this is why I say that the UAP, UFO abduction phenomenon, the orbs, maybe the drones, mm-hmm. and all this discussion that's going on now about disclosure or what's not being disclosed. Jesus gave us a warning. If we tie this in with what we just read in Matthew 24, and the entire chapter talks about a second coming and the tribulation and all that stuff.
Okay.
But he made that statement about it'll be like the days of Noah. Luke 21 is the companion passage to Matthew 24. It's the same question and answer session on the Mount of Olives.
Okay.
But he says something else here in verse 25. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. This is going to accompany as it was in the days of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
What on earth is going to be going on here? Now, granted, we're going to see far worse things after this with the Lord returning and the sign of the Son of Man and all that, but there's going to be war in heaven. There's going to be angels fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect men are going to be seeing perhaps mile-wide spacecrafts over cities, like we talked about. He warned us to look up. To me, it appears we're beginning to see this phenomenon now.
Interesting.
It's just the beginning. And if I put a timetable to it, not a chart or a timeline that I could absolutely definitively say, I can say this. When Jesus Christ ascended up to the heaven after he was raised from the dead, that's when the scene took place where he took the book out of the hand of God on the throne and began to open the seals.
Okay.
Revelation 5, 6.
Mm-hmm.
And as the seals began to be opened, again, Brother Ryan, thank you for your insight on this. Brother Ryan Peterson, remember our declassified thing, that all those seals match what he was talking about in Matthew 24. Okay. Be not deceived. The first horse was deception. There'll be wars, rumors of wars. War is the next horse, you know, famine, pestilence, all the horses.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fifth seal, when it's opened, is the souls of them that were slain under the altar. And they cry out, Lord, how long? This is Revelation 7, I believe. How long before you avenge our blood on the earth? And they said, rest a little longer, just a little longer, till your other brethren are killed as you are. So there's a martyrdom coming.
Yes, there's a number there.
There's a number there. And then the sixth seal will be open, and it's the huge earthquake, and all hell breaks loose.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, we're about to get there. And remember last week when we talked about the presumptuous men?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to get back to them. Because not only did 2 Peter talk about them, and he had said that they weren't afraid to speak evil of governments. Well, we're not talking about the government of the United States. We're talking about God's governmental system.
Yeah.
You know, human government is patterned after angelic kingdoms.
Yeah.
So the governments he's talking about are like Michael and the archangels and the cherubim and the elders and Christ himself in heaven.
Yeah.
That's the kingdom of God. These men are not afraid to speak evil of governments, that government. They're going to be running world governments. They don't care.
Yeah.
You know, whether he's describing just the 10 kings or everybody involved. So it's the Jude describes the same entities, and look at what his reference is in Jude verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, lasciviousness is like lewdness.
Okay.
Okay. They're called men twice, certain men and ungodly men. So they're men, but as we know, angels were called men.
Yeah.
Sodom said, bring the men out that came into you today. Well, they were two angels that went to deliver Lot.
Mm-hmm.
So look at verse 8. If we continue, these certain men in verse 8 says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, whether it's the dominion God gave man of the earth, or the kingdom of God itself, governments, right?
Yeah.
They despise man. In other words, they're not acknowledging the contract, that God, the rules of engagement, God gave man the earth, and speak evil of dignities. And I would argue that's the host of heaven. That's God's angels. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. The point being, these certain men that despise God's dominion, they'll be the 10 kings of Revelation, probably, or associated with them. At least the 10 will be of their number, my point being. And it says here that they are, that not even Michael, who is the greatest power of angels, or at least one of them, because he's called the archangel, he wouldn't rebuke Satan to his face. He said, the Lord rebuke thee.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if anybody is like a bad shaft kind of guy, you know, Michael is the last guy. You know, people say, I wouldn't want to meet the devil in a dark alley. I wouldn't want to meet Michael in a dark alley.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a seasoned warrior.
But it says he won't bring against him a railing accusation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he doesn't want to get engaged in a legal argument with him. He's like, I'm gonna let the Lord handle you.
Yeah. And incidentally,
it's almost like he has a lot of stuff on evidence on his side where Satan can say, you want to get into a legal battle with me?
Yeah.
With me? Let me show you
what they've done. I got the goods on you. Yeah. Hmm. So he knows better than to even do, because he knows God's allowing him to have this power.
Mm-hmm.
And he's allowing him to break the rules of engagement,
mm-hmm.
because he's going to ultimately fulfill his purpose. So he doesn't, even though they speak evil of dignities, these men, these certain men, they're satanic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're acting like the devil himself.
Yeah.
And even Michael wouldn't bring an accusation against the devil, but these men bring accusations against God's host of heaven.
Yeah.
So there's something about these men. Certain men, they're called. Filthy dreamers, they're called. They despise dominion. Well, he gives us a little more insight. Now, we've talked about this before, but I'm doing this because it ties back into breaking the rules of engagement.
Okay.
In verse 12, same chapter, Jude 1, these same people we're talking about that Peter referred to as well, these are spots in your feasts of charity. Now, let's take them one at a time.
Okay.
What is a spot? It's a blemish.
Yeah.
Spots in your feasts of charity. Whose feasts of charity? Well, Jude's writing to the believers.
Okay.
The church of the tribulation. What are they doing in their feasts of charities? So they look like human beings.
Yeah.
But they're spots. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Okay, so they don't mind. They're not afraid to pose as believers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amidst the church. And they eat with them. Tares among the wheat.
Yeah. Hmm.
Clouds they are without water. Carried about of winds. In other words, they produce nothing beneficial. Well, you know, clouds, how many days is it cloudy in Texas and not a drop? All the time. And you go, when are we going to get some rain? You know, same thing.
Well, the clouds without water is almost like saying they look like you, but they don't have real life inside of them.
Interesting
almost,
point, yeah. You know? Or you think of God's glory in the cloud, but mm-hmm. they don't have his majesty. You know, they're yeah. emulating him, you know. Then he says, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. That's interesting because Jesus Christ talked about trees and thorns and brambles and stuff like that. And all the plant analogies, trees are like the cedars of Lebanon and the mm-hmm. tree that grew up higher than above them. That was about the Nephilim
mm-hmm.
in Ezekiel yeah. 20:31 or whatever it was. And then raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame, implying they came out of the sea of humanity.
Yeah.
But they're raging. They're angry. They're angry against the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, it's, humanity's going to get to the point where they're ready to rebel against the very God of creation. And then here's the one I love. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. They're controlled by their fathers, the fallen angels.
Mm-hmm.
I think these are Nephilim hybrids. I believe these certain men are Nephilim hybrid kings. And they don't have to be kings of nations. They could be oligarchs.
Yeah.
You know, they could be corporate billionaires or something. Mm-hmm. They will come from the satanic global elites. And they're out there now.
Yeah.
I think you told me, if I'm not mistaken, it could have been Jana, that as we record this, it is January the 18th.
Okay.
2 days from now is an inauguration of Donald Trump to be president.
Yep.
Because he won the election in November. Same day is the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
That's the satanic global elites right there.
Yeah.
And perhaps intermingled with what Trump's whole thing is. I absolutely believe yeah. he's got some Judases in there, just like he did last time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, absolutely. So notice they're called wandering stars. And again, I believe it's after their angel fathers, fallen angel fathers. They're going to break the rules of engagement, just like Jesus said they were,
mm-hmm.
just like Daniel chapter 2 prophesied. And it's going to happen when all these signs and wonders start taking place. And I think we're starting to see them now. That's the truth behind the UAP phenomenon. And yes, they are ultra-terrestrial. Yes, they've been with us from the beginning.
Yeah.
They're not from another planet. Humanity is going to invite them in to make covenants with them. That's why there's going to be these 10 kings.
If we haven't already.
If we haven't already, yeah. And we probably have.
You would think that is, we have already. That's why this UAP, UFO abduction phenomenon is going on.
Yeah.
Because one point I would like to make is a lot of, and Karen Wilkinson can probably speak to this with a lot more knowledge because she's studied all this, but anytime you have people that have been part of this abduction phenomenon with extraterrestrials, there's usually some kind of an occult
yeah.
or Masonic tie.
Yes.
Some covenant was connection. Made yeah. that gave access to whether it was a great grandfather or a grandfather or somebody in that line,
yeah.
mother, whatever. And then it affects all of the kids down the line, grandkids, great-grandkids. They start seeing this abduction yes. thing happening because the covenant was made years and years before the access was given.
And how does that tie back? I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Because how does that, you talk about a cult, covenants, Masonic symbolism, Oliver Washington, mm-hmm. we talked about that. All those ties have been going on all this time. How does that tie back to what's happening now, the UAP phenomenon? And let's even add to it, I'm going to go out on a limb here, the fires in California.
Okay.
All right, here, what do we mean by that? Well, we had fires in Lahaina, mm-hmm. Hawaii.
Yeah.
We had devastating hurricanes that took place in North Carolina, and they're not really getting any help.
Yeah.
You know, they got pushed out of the news.
Yeah.
North Carolina. But what do they all have in common? Real estate's being destroyed, and there's not insurance to cover it. There's poor management. There's all these. Oh, we blame all the stuff we want. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I believe it's valid. But ultimately, they're saying like less than 50% of the people are going to get their property back. Most of them are going to leave California. And I don't know what the percentage is in Hawaii and North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But someone's going to come in and gobble that up at bargain prices.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
BlackRock.
Yeah.
Whatever. Vanguard. Somebody. And so, Birthright. Mm-hmm. Timothy Alberino again. Rules of engagement. God gave man dominion of the earth. In order for the Antichrist to claim to be
the God of this world.
The God of this world, right.
Yeah.
He's going to have to be a man part mm-hmm. to lay claim to the title. But how's he going to get all the property? I mean, if all the world is worshiping the devil, I think these groups that are also involved, the satanic elites, who do worship the devil and have from time immemorial, mm-hmm. have been going about systematically buying up all the real estate. Yeah. They want to gain majority control of the real estate. Satan is not operating on our time frame. You think, oh, they've been thousands of years and different people involved. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. They're all being used as human proxies.
Yeah.
Satan's patient. He's got all the time he wants. I mean, from his perspective, he's eternal.
Yeah, so what you're talking about is a percentage almost, right, of the earth is being taken over by
the 1%.
Satan's at the top of the pyramid, right?
But
down below him is a whole network of fallen angels down that run people that are over corporations that are grabbing land and concentrating human beings into smaller and smaller locations. One of their theories or one of their ideas is a 15-minute city.
Yeah.
Why do you want to live on 5 acres of land? You got to mow it and you got to fix the well and blah, 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 when you can just go down here and live in this 15-minute city. By the way, downstairs is a bar and a restaurant. And over here, we've got a golf simulator and your veterinarian's over there. And it's all in the same spot.
And what do we say about cities?
And
who started cities?
Oh, yeah. Started with Cain.
Right. Right. Wickedness, you know, they name cities. In other words, get them all in these cities where we can control what they think and say and do and worship.
So that's another thing, right? We talked about that in the last episode, but the worship, and that's what kind of power comes from that. But anyways, back to Los Angeles. Gavin Newsom has already come out. This blew my mind. They were interviewing him, and he already said, we're kind of revisioning now a new LA 2.0. It's like,
of course,
what is LA 2.0, right? Well, that's the new version of LA.
Like human 2.0, right?
Exactly, right? There's a whole other thing right there. But Los Angeles 2.0, what is in his mind of what Los Angeles? Well, I'm sure they're going to talk about it on January 20th at the World Economic Forum.
Yeah, of course they are.
The whole plan. They probably have that same plan for New York City, for Chicago, for Dallas, probably where I live in Austin. I mean, they probably got the Austin 2.0 plan already, and it's all about pushing people in. Well, that's just one theory, right?
But they're pushing people in. Isn't it all part of Agenda 2030 anyway?
Yeah.
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 So
which is the big land grab, right?
You're onto the thing. It's all about, I don't know what the percentage is. Is it 51% or does it need to be 80 or 90?
Yeah, yeah.
But if 1% of satanic elites, and they do worship Satan, control the majority of the real estate on the planet, mm-hmm. they can cede the title to the Antichrist. And it's going to be controlled by the 10 kings. Mm-hmm. So the 1%, these certain men is what I'm getting to. They're going to come out of this, the 10 kings.
Yeah.
And so you say, well, you're that's a speculation on your part. It is. But let's see if the Bible supports it, okay? Because it is my opinion that many of these so-called natural disasters are actually land grabs to complete the majority stakeholder ownership of planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So Revelation 17, Verse 12, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which has received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. One mind must mean they are all of the same agenda. These shall make war with the Lamb, so they're against Christ. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So, once the majority stakeholder ownership of planet Earth is acquired, in my opinion, the deception will begin to prepare humanity to worship the beast. So whatever the events are going on in heaven is to put fear in the hearts of men so they're willing to accept this. 10 kings will rise up to control the world, and they'll give their power to the beast. It's the final breaking of the rules of engagement. Now they can say, you know, to the Lord, we took dominion of the earth. You gave it to men. Now we have it.
Yeah, we're they gave it to us.
We're half-breeds. And so we're going to fight against you for control of it. And once the Lord comes back, he's coming back. And the whole reason he was called the Son of Man in the Bible, Jesus Christ, is so that he can
take back dominion.
Legally make the claim.
Yeah.
Because he is a man. And God gave dominion to man. So I think that's important. And in closing, I want to say this. Right now, God is not holding the world accountable for sin.
Okay.
Since Christ died, 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. The one exception being Israel's still blinded and he's waiting for them to give.
Now, you mean that God is not holding mankind accountable for sin now, meaning that we're forgiven?
I mean that his wrath is not being poured out. You haven't seen him divinely intervene in a long time.
Okay.
He's not holding men accountable like Sodom and Gomorrah or like the flood of Noah.
Okay.
He's not imputing trespasses. He's calling all men by his grace. Even a satanic elite can be saved. And I wish they would get saved.
Yeah, so that throws something in the face of people that are saying, well, look how bad California is. That's why these fires are there. It's the wrath of God.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it is the land grab, and maybe it is part of the satanic
agenda. See, it can be the wrath of God. So I think you're right. In other words, if God's not imputing trespass, it'd be hard-pressed to say it's the wrath of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
Yeah, no, that was my thought process along that, right?
Oh, good. Like, then I got you.
A lot of people, when a hurricane will hit, they'll say, look how much we've gone off the rails as a Christian nation. Yeah. That's why God sent this hurricane, right?
Oh,
or that's why the fires are burning in California. I'm not so much sure of that, if it's the wrath of God.
I'm not. I'm convinced it's not.
Yeah.
I remember somebody said, some preacher somewhere said, if AIDS wasn't God's wrath against homosexuals, then he owed Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. That's ignorant.
Yeah.
First of all, that's not what Sodom and Gomorrah was about.
Yeah.
Anyway, we know that. But secondly, it defies the scripture we just read.
Yeah.
That God's not imputing trespasses. He's willing that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But at some point, this grace will end. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. No one's going to be targeted. It's not this group or this city or that political ideology. It's all unrighteousness when he comes back. So the grace is going to end either because the appointed time is fulfilled, you know, and only God knows it, or because the everlasting covenant was broken. And we know that has happened.
Okay.
That being, remember we talked about this when God gave the rainbow. The everlasting covenant was, okay, you can start again. Noah and your family are pure humans and be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth because I give you dominion over it. Okay. The only way you can do that is men and women procreating.
Yeah.
When they stop doing that because of transgender and all the rest, they've broken the everlasting covenant. And isn't it ironic that that movement took and adopted as their symbol the rainbow?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Satan knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So man will interbreed again with fallen angels. The final straw of the breaking of the everlasting covenant, we've gone from men with women to men with men to transgender to pedophilia to angel sex. That's where it's coming. And again, that could be nothing more than the covenant made to allow the alien abduction phenomenon.
Yeah.
But it was still a break of the covenant. Mm-hmm. It was a breaking of the rules of engagement. And at that point, God says, okay, you broke the everlasting covenant. Now you've reached the point where I will have to pour my wrath out. And when man starts producing these hybrids again, which is going to be likely some form of the mark of the beast in mass, which is probably what the abduction agenda is all about, is to find a way to mass manipulate through a, I'm going to say the word, a vaccine of some kind.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, whatever mechanism of delivery that causes men to willingly take the mark so that they become genetically altered. Then the final straw is broken of the camel's back. Mm-hmm. And will be brought to fruition, Isaiah 24. Notice he says in verse 5, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. The earth is defiled. Hmm. Who are the inhabitants? Well, it's us, humanity. Because they've transgressed the laws, rules of engagement, changed the ordinance to not do this, to not interbreed, broken the everlasting covenant, no longer procreating to reproduce human beings, but something else. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. He said he's going to plead with fire next time, not water. So the everlasting covenant has to do with man being given dominion of the earth again after the flood and being commanded to replenish it, and he's going to break it to such an extent that now they're not producing humans anymore.
Wow.
They're producing Nephilim. And the 10 kings will come from that. Certain men, unafraid to speak evil of dignities, you know. Isaiah 26, while we're there, when we mentioned the rapture a minute ago. Since we're delivered from the wrath to come, the Lord's got to take us out of the way. Because if he's not imputing trespasses unto men now, but he's going to pour his wrath out, he will be imputing trespasses. So those of us that have been delivered from wrath have to be removed. Therefore, to me, the tribulation cannot start. The wrath cannot begin until the church is taken out of the way. And he said as much in a cryptic passage in Isaiah. There's plenty of people that say, oh, there's no, the rapture's not in the prophecy. I don't know. Okay. Read this passage with me. Isaiah 26, verse 20. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Well, that's his wrath. He no longer, he is now imputing trespasses. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. At some point, all the innocents that have been killed are going to be avenged. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. And I think that's a reference to Satan in the Antichrist, right?
Yeah.
There. Rises up out of the sea. So he will again to impute trespasses to men because they've broken the rules of engagement, seeking that communion with fallen entities. Because they're, I mean, right now, when you think about it, what is the allegation about these UAPs and things? That there's a secret reverse engineering program. They have advanced alien technology. Maybe we have gravitational.
Anti-gravitational craft, something like that.
Yeah. Well, where do you think that came from?
What, that technology?
Yeah. Fallen angels, in my opinion. And at some point, I'm going to do an episode about how that advanced technology was, and we've briefly discussed it before, but we're going to go into details. It really was manifested during World War II with Nazi Germany, and they had occult ties. Well, after we won the war, we imported all those, that brain drain.
That's how they started NASA, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then one of the head scientists come over, he's the guy that's,
Yeah, it was Operation Paperclip.
Yeah.
Brought them all over here. And so where do you think all that advanced technology came from? Same entities. And wasn't it interesting that right after World War II, we have the crash land in Roswell?
Yeah.
And I learned something the other day that I did not know. There were planes launched at the end of World War II that carried the bombs that blew up Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan.
Okay.
You know about that history.
Yeah.
The two big bombs, the A-bombs. You know where they launched from?
Wright-Patterson Air Force Base? I don't know.
Roswell, New Mexico.
Oh, they came out of Roswell.
They came out of Roswell.
Huh.
And that's where the aliens crash landed. I don't know, something about nuclear power, nuclear weapons, and getting their attention, you know, they, the fallen angels. Or maybe, oh, they took our knowledge and now we don't want them to do this yet. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's funny because Revelation 9 says that at some point the bottomless pit's going to be open. And we've talked about CERN maybe being the way, that portal.
Yeah.
That's the key that the angel uses to unlock it. And all this stuff pours out of there. And it says in verse 20 of Revelation 9, after these horrible things take place on the earth, men's hearts failing them for fear, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Men are going to return to this idolatry in a big way.
Yeah.
When these fallen angels come down and say, we're gods. And then it says, and here's the kicker, we've talked about this before too, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And you said the word earlier. The Greek word for sorceries was what?
I don't know. I said that?
You did. Oh, you don't remember?
No, what did I say?
You're smarter than you realize. Pharmakia.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
It's sorceries.
Hmm.
It's the Greek word for sorceries. In other words, and Jan and I talked about this, drugs are associated with opening portals to demons and the fallen angels. So even though God's wrath is going to be poured out, men are still not going to repent of their deeds. And one of those deeds is sorceries. And it is the Greek word pharmakia, which also means the use or administering of drugs. Will a drug be used to alter human DNA? Is this the sorcery we're talking about? Will man be altering his physical state to allow demonic control of his body to fight against the Lord?
Wow, that's a concept.
Yeah. Rules of engagement.
Hmm.
Like we said, all this is happening, and to me, the rapture is about to occur to remove us out of the way, God's people, and the rules of engagement will be broken in a big way one last time, such that God can say, you broke the everlasting covenant.
Yeah.
As Satan mounts a final offensive against the Lord and his anointed. The good news is the Lord wins.
Yeah, I mean, we know the end of the story, right? So that's the good news, right? The bad news is we have so many family and friends and people that are just walking around like zombies that don't spend any time thinking about any of this or what's going on. They're just, you know, that we need to get the word out to, because that truly is our job right now, right?
It is.
Until we are raptured out of here, our job is to wake people up.
And it's the very reason I started this podcast.
Yeah.
Honestly. Because, again, I had a wonderful fellowship of believers and friends at pastoring my church. And here we are, a small-town Bible church, but you talk about close. And we're a close-knit group of people that loved each other, loved the Word of God. But I'm seeing stuff like this, and I'm preaching to, you know, 20 maybe on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I got to reach more people. I mean, where's Seguin on the map? It's a little nothing town, you know, and I'm comfortable. I mean, here I am happy and in a nice little town without a lot of traffic. And, you know, we don't have good restaurants, but we don't have traffic. Right.
Yeah, dude, you get the burnt bean, man. I mean, that burnt bean is famous.
You gave him a plug, dude. Honestly, I mean, they're starting to go a little bit, but really, if we want to go anywhere, we got to drive to San Antonio or sometimes even Austin. Yeah. No, New Braunfels has some pretty good restaurants, but the point being, it was a great place to raise kids, quiet, low crime for us, you know, and here we are with this great little fellowship, and I'm thinking, man, the world needs to hear this. It's about to get down, you know, so that's why we started this, and I literally retired from preaching, and one of the greatest reasons was because of this.
But now you're reaching 35, 40,000 people a month.
Hopefully.
That are, when we look at the metrics, right, that's what we see. 35, 40,000 unique listeners.
Yeah.
That means different devices are downloading the episode that month and listening to it. So, I mean, that's a lot of people.
And there may be little time left.
Yeah.
So, let's get the work done.
Get the word out. Share it with your friends, family.
Yeah.
Talk to people.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate you guys, as always, for listening. I hope something we've said helps give you some enlightenment about what's going on in the world today. Till next time, be sure to look up, for our redemption draws near.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, please consider subscribing to our premium ad-free content at BibleMysteriesPodcast.com. If you enjoyed this video, please share and subscribe.